to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Every family has a black sheep. Is that right? Every family has a black sheep. In Jasmine's family, his name was Danny. He has a brother named Danny. And Danny was a black sheep of the family. He kept Naomi, his mother, on her knees continually. He used to, when he came to America, he used to come home and he used to cuss vicariously. And the way you cuss vicariously, you say, "Mama, you know what they said at school today?" And he'd say it. And she'd wash his mouth out with soap and then put red pepper in it. It didn't stop him. He'd come home and they'd say, "You know what they said at school today?" And he'd say it. When my kids were little, I remember they had code words, how they would tell me what was said at school. And that was, "Daddy, Daddy, they said the S word at school today." Okay. Well, today, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the spiritual S word today. I want to talk to you about the spiritual S word. And go ahead and start reading the scriptures, if you would. It says, "I thank Christ Jesus." I'm on the monitor real loud. Turn me down on the monitors, if you would. I'm about to feedback. "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened," everybody say strengthened, "strengthened me. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me." Go to next scripture. "You too be patient." What's the next word? "Strengthen your" what? Go to the next scripture. "Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do one do as one who is serving by the" what? "By the strength which God gives." Then the last one, Ephesians 6. Go ahead, next one. "Finally, be" what? "Strong in the Lord and in" the what? Everybody say the word strength one more time. "In the strength of his might." And one of the keys about, I want to talk to you, that word grabbed me to, this week, and then I'm going to minister, and then we're going to pray. The word strength. And when you read the book of Revelation, it has the seven churches, and it shows a digression where these churches at one time, each one of them had been on fire for God, but they had, one had a problem different than the other, and they began to digress. Until you, and you finally come to the next to last church called Sardis, who was a church that was preoccupied, a city that was preoccupied with death, and I won't go into all that, but they, the Lord gives and says something to them that I think is helpful, because if you're dealing with any digression, anything in your life that's dying or digressing or going in the wrong direction, I want to talk to you this morning, and that is in the book of Revelation 3 and 2. "To the angel of the church of Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Wake up! Everybody say wake up. "Strengthen," there's the S word, "and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die." I want to take that one phrase there. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. That means there's some things that are remaining that are so sick, so digressing, they are about to die. But the prophetic word was, wake up and begin to strengthen those things that are about to die. Those things that have weakened, those things that have grown less than they were before. They were at one time full strength, but now they've weakened to the point of almost death. They're almost dead. And the prophetic word was, wake up and strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you and pray for you, and then we're going to do it. Father, this morning I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes, that we would grab the spiritual S word today. And we'd apply it to our lives just as real as we do in the physical. We do it in the spiritual. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Look at somebody and say, he said the S word. We said he said the S word. Wake up. Listen to what the Lord strengthened. The word wake up means to arouse something that is at the point of death. To arouse something that is at the point of death. I remember growing up, one of our houses we lived in, they had an intercom. That was the worst thing in the world because every room had an intercom. And my mother, instead of having to come get you in the morning, she'd sing to us. She'd turn that intercom on and she would sing and she would, you know, all this and that. But one translation says, it isn't dead yet. Wake it up. It's not quite dead yet. Wake up. Maybe your marriage is almost dead. And the word today is don't bury it. Wake it up. Maybe your walk with the Lord has been digressing a little bit. The word of the Lord is maybe it's almost at the point of death. Wake it up. Maybe a business, maybe a relationship, whatever it may be. Listen, arouse yourself. 1 Timothy 1:6 says it this way. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh. Everybody say kindle afresh. I remember one time I built a house, and I remember it was cold that morning, and the guys had built a little fire, you know, the workers. And I remember it got warmer that day, and I came back 3 days later, and I remember walking by where they'd burned a little fire to keep warm that day. And I just walked by, and I remember it kicked it a little bit, and all of a sudden one of the little boards fell over, and there still was embers red underneath that thing 3 days later. You can listen, it may look like it's dead, but there's a little bit of life still there. It said, wake up and arouse yourself and strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. Not that they're dead yet. You need to say, as long as there's a little bit of kick still in me, I can still do it. I may not be where I was. I may not be at full strength, but as long as there's a little bit of life still in me, there's still hope. And the Bible says, as long as there's a little bit of desire, it may not be what it used to be. Wake up, it's not over yet. So the Bible says strengthen. And the word in Revelation 3:2, the strengthen, it means this. The word means to solidify, to establish, to make something that has been weakened and build it back. Something that has been weakened and built, solidified, established, to take something that's been weakened. And but when the enemy attacks you, he'll attack your relationships, your marriage, your family. And I like this because, whatever it is, and maybe it's your walk with God, whatever the devil attacks, he tries to weaken that in your life. And whatever it is in your life this morning, I really felt from the Lord, listen, you've got to remember, as long as there's a little bit of life, God can bring the fire back up full blaze. He can breathe on it. He can begin to see it. And so he said, strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. Build them back up. The devil thought he destroyed you, but he didn't know that as long as there's a little bit of life in you, there's still hope in you. As long as you won't throw the towel in, as long as you don't go down and stay down, as long as you're willing to get back up, God will do a work in you. I don't care how little the life is, how dead it may seem, as long as there's a spark of life, God can do something in you. There is, listen, it's never over with God until the last chapter has been written. And I'm going to give you a little word. The last chapter has not been written yet. May look like it in the natural. It may look like it by the devil, on and on. But the enemy gets you discouraged that you give up. But the word today is strengthen the things that remain. Build them back up. Solidify them. Something that's been weakened. Begin to build it. Some of you are fixated on what you've lost. And that is a tactic of the enemy, is to get your eyes on what you lost. Not what you've got remaining, but get your eyes on what you've lost. So that you never understand what you've got left. You never fixate on what you've got left. You never look at what remains. All you think about is what you lost. All you think about is the girlfriend you used to have. All you think about is the job you used to have. All you think about is how the marriage used to be. Or all you think about is the house you used to live in. Or you think about all these things. You think about the contract you used to have. You think about the business. You think all these things. You fixate on what you used to have, and you'll miss out on the future God's got for you. The word of the Lord this morning is strengthen the things that remain. Forget what is gone. And look to what the Lord had. Look and strengthen the things that remain. Listen, because your miracle is not in what you lost. Your miracle is in what you've got left. Your miracle is not in what you lost. Your miracle is in what you've got left. If you fixate on what you lost, if you fixate on what you used to have, if you fixate, you'll never, ever go. Just strengthen the things that remain. One of the stories I love to read is in the book of Ezra. Ezra was a prophet and a scribe. Ezra was a person that was in the Babylonian captivity. That was a time when Israel was defeated by a foreign power. They were taken into the land of Babylon, and the foreign power came in and destroyed the temple, the city of Jerusalem, tore down the temple of Solomon, which was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. And it was unbelievable. God gave wisdom, and David had in today's monies, it would be in the billions of dollars. It was unbelievable how it was built. And it had been destroyed down to where it was rubble. It had been literally come in and they'd burned it and they tore it down stone by stone. And now that which was so magnificent is just rubble. The walls of Jerusalem are torn down. And Ezra comes on the scene and he has a word for them. And because what happened to the people is he leads a group of them from Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild what they had been destroyed. And here's what happened to them. When the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, see, they're rebuilding. The priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. They sang, praising, giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his loving kindness is upon Israel." Notice all these people, they're so excited. Look what God is doing. And they begin to worship. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation, now watch this, because something's going to sneak in. In the midst of God doing a new thing, in the midst of God wanting to do something new in their lives, 70 years captivity, God's about, something sneaks in that sneaks in our lives. Something grabbed them that grabs our lives at times. Watch what it is. Foundation of the Lord was laid. Look at the next verse. Yet many of the priests and Levites and heads of the father's households, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away. You know what happened to them? They began to remember in their brains what the Solomon's temple looked like. And they remembered what they lost and began to fixate on what they lost. And it kept them from rejoicing in what God was doing right now, because they were fixated on what they lost. Never be good enough. Never be big enough. What happens in a second marriage many times, you fixate sometimes. You never let go of the baggage. You remember. And so-and-so never measures back up. Because let me tell you something about memory. We have selective memory syndrome, if we could call it that. Where we remember things better than they were. Have you ever gone back to your home house where you grew up? And somehow it shrunk. Has it ever shrunk? It must have been the weather or the cold or something. It's just smaller than what you remember. House was big. I went back to Tennessee. My son went to college at Lee. And we grew up about 20 miles from there. I went back there. It took me over an hour and a half to find my house. You know why? Because I was looking for this humongous big house. That's the truth. And when I found it, I could not. We lived in that. That's where we grew up. It seemed so much larger and bigger. You know, Numbers 11, they did the same thing in Numbers. The rabble, everybody say the rabble. How many know that's not a good group of people right off the bat? The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There's nothing to eat except this." Everybody say manna. Manna burgers, manna pot roast, manna, you know, whatever. And what they did, all they did was remember the good things. They didn't remember the back-breaking work and the making of bricks and the no straw and the taskmasters and the being beaten. And all you have selective memories sometimes. And so listen to what they said. Look what Haggai was another prophet with Ezra when he was talking to him. And listen what Haggai said. Haggai comes from a word from the Lord. Here's what he tells him. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, he stood up beside Ezra, "Speak now to Zerubbabel," who was the military leader, "the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the remnant of the people," saying this, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem like nothing? When you allow the fixation of your heart to go on the past, nothing in the present will ever measure up. Because there's an unrealistic bit in our memory banks where we remember things better than they were. Let me tell you, the good old days weren't always good old days. Come on, somebody. They weren't good old days all the time. And you've got to come to the place where the Bible says, strengthen the things that remain. Get your eyes off of what you lost, because your miracle is in what you've got left. It says, how do you see it now? Does it not seem like nothing in comparison? And he says, now listen to what else he says. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest and all the people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise I made when you came out of Egypt, my spirit abiding in your midst, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations and they will come to the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Notice this. The latter glory of this house. I know you don't think it's much. I know you're fixated on what you lost, so you're missing the miracle of what you've got remaining. But he said, let me tell you a little secret you don't understand. It looks like nothing in comparison in your mind to what Solomon's temple looks like. You're standing on a hillside, Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and you're rebuilding this little foundation, and it looks like nothing in comparison. But let me tell you a little secret. The glory of what you're doing is going to far surpass the glory of Solomon's temple. Remember Solomon's temple? They read the stories when they built it the first time. The priests could not even minister because of the Shekinah glory that came down in it. And here is this prophet saying the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. He said, listen, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of Solomon's. How could that ever be? Let me tell you how that will be. Those guys out there working and moving and doing something for God, if they let that crowd in their brains, if they let this come in their hearts, you know, this is nothing in comparison to what we lost. We had Solomon's temple, ancient wonder of the world. It was so full of glory, the priests could not stand to minister. And if you allow that to come in, you think, what am I doing now? It's nothing. It's worth nothing. Think about this in your marriage. Think about this in your business. Think about this in relationships. It's nothing compared to what I used to have. And the word of the Lord comes and says, let me tell you something. The glory of what you're doing, the glory of this house, is going to be greater than the glory. How's that, Lord? They just had the Shekinah. That foundation they're building during the days of Ezra and Haggai and Zerubbabel and Joshua, that foundation would be the foundation one day that the God of this universe would step down from star to star, clothe himself in a body of flesh. He would walk literally on the face of that foundation, walk in that, and he would say these words, a greater than Solomon is here. Come on, somebody. He would walk in it. God, wrapped in a human body, outwardly a Jew, inwardly Jehovah, would literally walk in that temple. And the glory, he said, wait till you see the glory that I had with the Father before the worlds were. Can I tell you something? I don't know what's happening in your, but listen, stop comparing what you lost with what you got right now. Look at it. Stop saying, oh man, when we used to have it, when we did it. I mean, on and on and on. You've got to come to the place where you stop, you get your eyes off of it. I like Revelation 3:2 says, strengthen the things which remain, which were about to die. That means, it doesn't mean they're dead, it just means they're about to die. Strengthen some of those relationships that are about to die. Satan would love to see you say the last rites on that relationship. He'd like to see you say the last rites on your business. He'd like to see, he torments your mind with, this is going to happen and that is going to happen. And then he brings into your heart and your mind a comparison back to the way it used to be. How you and your wife or you and your husband used to be. And you remember back, and it's really unrealistic. Oh, we just love you. And you say, why don't we do all this fun stuff anymore? And your husband says, because I thought you wanted a serious relationship. No. And so you just remember back all these things. You just remember, and what happens is somehow you begin to look at your present thing as nothing in comparison to what it used to be. Let me give you a word from the Lord. Strengthen the things that remain. Go up there instead of complaining. Put a big old kiss on his lips. It'll make his toes curled or something like that. Tell me, just do it. Stop all that nonsense. Stop all that comparison. Stop all that, dreaming, all that stuff. Listen, major on the fact that you're half alive and not half dead. Major on the fact that thorns have roses, not that roses have thorns. Come on, somebody. It's a great thing that thorns have roses. Isn't that right? I mean, it's a fabulous thing that thorns have roses. I mean, it's great. Thorns have roses. Isn't that great? Thorns have roses. That's a very positive. I'm not, trying to be a positive kind of, but it really is good. But when you begin to think about the Good Samaritan, the Bible came. The Bible says he was half alive. Come on, somebody. It's like this. How far is it? It's about 4 red lights. How negative can you be? Come on, somebody. How far? Well, go about 4 red lights. How many know they can be just as green as they are red? 4 green lights down the road. The devil comes, to steal, kill, and destroy. As long as there's a little bit of life in you. I'm just tell you Philippians 3, we'll skip it. Paul said all these things. He said, you know what? He said, I've lost it all. He said, I've gave it all away. He lists all these things that he did. And he says, he said, I count them all but dung to know the Lord. Listen, Samson, even if you're blind and bound like Samson, if you strengthen what remains. He lost his integrity. He lost his strength. He lost his eyesight. He lost his freedom. He lost his family. He lost his testimony. He lost everything. But in the enemy's camp, instead of focusing on what he lost, he strengthened the things that remained. The Bible says his hair began to grow. That meant his separation. He began to call out on God again. And instead of thinking my life is over, I've lost everything, there's nothing in the future, the Bible says he did more in his death than he did in his entire life. Just whatever you got left, strengthen it. Whatever you got left. Long as there's a little bit of life there, long as there's a little bit of kick there, the devil wants you to say the last rites over it. But God says if you'll just arouse it, wake up, strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. Start strengthening that prayer life of yours. Probably I just can't pray anymore. But you can at least whisper, you can do something. Start where you are. Strengthen it. Well, I don't read the Bible anymore. Well, start a scripture a day, whatever it is. But in the enemy's camp, he gave what he had. I like the Apostle Paul. He was on a ship one time, and the Bible says they hit a storm, a Euroclodon, and it was day after day after day of not knowing. And finally, the ship hit and began to tear apart. And he lost it all, but you know what he kept? He kept one plank. The Bible says they all grabbed a hold of planks. I think he grabbed one plank, jumped on top of that, curled his toes around there, hung a tin, and made it on. And come on, somebody, surfed on in. Because you've got to take what you have left. And God can deliver you in what you've got left. Gideon had 32,000 men. 32,000 people. And the Bible says this. He lost 31,700 of them. The Midianites were hundreds of thousands of people. Big, fierce warrior. And Gideon, do I have that math? Do I have the math up there? Gideon had 31,000 men. 32,000. He lost 31,700. I don't know about you. If I had a small group, let's just say I had a small group, and I started the first small group meeting, I had 32,000 people, the first small group meeting. At the end of the first month, I looked, and I had lost 31,700 of my members. How many think there might be this tendency to fixate on what I lost? Oh, God, what have I lost? I started with 32,000. I lost 31,700 of them. I can never do anything. I can't do. And God's word was him, you got too much. Because if you did with all those, you would think it was your own strength. But now all you got is 300. So now you got to believe God. And listen, you got to get your eyes out of what you've lost. Strengthen the things that remain. Your miracle, Gideon, your miracle's not in the 31,700. Your miracle's in the 300. Your miracle's not in the 31,700. Your miracle is in the 300. Can I tell you, your miracle is not in that lovey-dovey, you know, honeymoon that you bought. I'll tell people this. When you date, you're not dating the real person you're going to marry. That person is locked up in a cage at the house that doesn't come out till after the honeymoon. Come on, somebody. That person comes out. What did I marry? You know, of all. One woman told me, I thought I was marrying Roy Rogers, but after our honeymoon, I realized I married Trigger. Come on, somebody. Because you just always on your bed and da, 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 da. And that's why you go to work and you see somebody else and you think, more, the grass is so much greener. Remember the old story? It's always over a septic tank. Come on, somebody. And so you always understand that they're on it. So it's not real. You've got to stop looking at what you lost. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. His grace is sufficient. If what you had was sufficient, you wouldn't need His grace. His grace is sufficient. It says, we're weak. So, Pastor, you don't know how much I've lost in the stock market. Stop concentrating on what you lost. Everybody lost in the stock market. God didn't abandon His throne. Gold, I mean, the value of heaven didn't diminish. He's still a God of all. Stop, if I just had my retirement, I just lost all that in the stock. I just da-da-da, and you get fixated on what, boy, I had this contract, and it was going, and my business, and I get off of what you lost, and begin to strengthen the things that remain. You know, Second Chronicles, one of the kings had hired some Israelites. They were Judah, and he hired the Israelites to come and fight for him. And a prophet comes and says, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100,000 talents of gold. But there came a man of God him saying, okay, not the army of Israel, go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong in the battle, and God shall make thee fall before the enemy, and God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what about all that money? Man, they're not going to give me the money back. I can't send my bill and say, God, I don't want you to give me. They're not going to give the money back. What am I going to do? I don't want to lose all that money, 100,000 talents, you know. He says, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of answer said, the Lord is able to give thee much more. Come on, somebody. Get your eyes off what you lost. God can give you more than what you lost. Get your eyes off fixation. Your miracle is in what you have left. Your miracle is what's there right now. Get your eyes off of what you lost. Psalms 126, I always love this scripture. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Everybody say weepeth. Bearing precious. You know why they're weeping and why it's called precious seed? That's because undoubtedly their crops just got ruined. And the way you got seed, you didn't go down the store and buy seed. You got the seed from that year's crop. And you kept the seeds and you used those seeds to plant next year's crop. But there seemed to be, a storm or something came through or fire and destroyed all the crops. And he says, now, listen, here it is. You got a decision to make. You can get all upset about what you lost. Or you can go forth weeping. But listen, and with precious seed, all I got left is these few seeds right here. And you start planting that. And says, if you do it that way, get your eyes off of what you lost and go on and believe God that the miracle is not in what you lost. The miracle is in the precious seeds you've got left. If you'll do that, you'll come again rejoicing, bringing your seeds with you. Come on, somebody. You will do it. Strengthen the things that remain. Elisha and the widow, he goes and he says that there's a widow. There's a drought in the land. And the Bible says, he says, lady, well, my husband's dead. All I got, my son, my boy, all I got left is one little flour. And I'm going to make one little cake. I'm going to feed it to him. I'm going to feed it to me. And then we're going to die. And the Bible says, why don't you make me one first? Just like a preacher. Why don't you make me a thing first? And he said, and the Bible says, listen, because your miracle, lady, is not in what you lost. Your miracle is in what you got left. If you'll sow it, if you'll believe God when God tells you, it will happen in your life. Listen, strengthen the things that remain. This was God's word to the people, and I believe it's still the Lord today. Listen, wake it up. Arouse yourself. You've got to remember this. In Corinthians, Paul wrote this to a church in Corinth. And he didn't pretend to be some great spiritual giant all the time. Listen to what he wrote. He says, "We don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, which we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and will deliver us." You know what he said? Let me tell you something. He said, we had to come to the end of ourselves, where we had to believe that we no longer had life, but we didn't concentrate on what we lost. We concentrated, believed that we served the God of the resurrection. Can I tell you, if you will strengthen the things that remain that are about to die, maybe you feel like there's a sentence of death on your marriage, your ministry, your business, your relationship, you name it. As long as there's a little bit of life, but Pastor, it's probably down to 2% life left. As long as there's one ember left somewhere burning, the Bible says, if you will take what remains and begin to strengthen that. Begin to pray over it. Begin to write a letter of whatever. Begin to do it. When you begin to do it, I want the musicians to come on back up this morning. And I want to do it a little bit different, guys. I want you all to start back with "It Is Well With My Soul." Let me tell you a story we're going to end this morning. We sang the song, and when we did it, I remembered it. Mr. Stafford was a great businessman in England. He had a wife and 3 daughters. And he decided there was some things going on in England, and he decided he was a great Christian, and he'd heard of D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was holding some great campaigns in America. And he was coming over with his family to the big meetings in America to be in the D.L. Moody. And at the last minute, something happened with his business, and he had to send his daughters and wife on ahead of him. They took the ship, and they came across. And when they were halfway or so across the ocean, a storm hit, and that ship they were on went down. All 3 of his daughters were drowned, and his wife alone made it out alive. When she got to the States, she wired him and she said, "I alone am left." You can imagine his heart broke. He got the next ship, and he asked the captain. He said, "Would you do me a favor? When we come to these coordinates, would you wake me, have me awakened? Because that is where my daughters and where the other ship went down." They said, "Absolutely, sir." And when they brought him to that place and woke him that night, he said he walked out on the bow of that ship, and he looked out on those cold, icy waters. And he remembered and thought about his 3 daughters, whom he loved with all his heart. He just thought about what happened just weeks before. But it was then that, instead of living his life on what he lost, because let me tell you something, those that have gone on before us are not in our past, they're in our future. Do you know that? His 3 daughters were not in his past. He could live that way. He could live as if he'd lost and fixate on what he'd lost. Remember I told you there was a man one time whose daughter was killed. And when the day of sentencing came, the judge asked, and he had to say something. He said, "Judge, I know you don't ask, but I'd like to recommend a sentence for this boy." And that was, he wanted, I forgot how much money he wanted. It was some strange number. And what it worked out was, it was $1 a day. And he said, "I want it paid out $1 a year. And I want him to have to bring me that dollar every day on that, every year. For the next 22 years, because that's how old she was when she died." And I thought, you know what? That only kept it alive in that guy that done the killing. It was a vehicle homicide. But it kept it alive in that guy's heart, the hurt and the anger, because he was fixated on the past. And when Mr. Stafford stood out on that bow of that ship, these words came to him. He wrote this song. "It is well with my soul." Grieved he did, cry he did, But you know what he did? He strengthened the things that remained. He had a wife left. They had other children. Life went on. And they didn't get stuck in the past. They lived where they are. I want all everybody stand up. Bring the lights down a little bit low. I don't know what the devil's done in your life to get you fixated on what you lost. But your miracle is not in what you lost. Your miracle is in what you have left. And I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think, just as we begin to sing this, I want you to think, I want to see yourself beginning to let go of the past, let go of what you lost, and begin to say, Pastor, I'm going to start, Lord, I'm going to start strengthening the things that remain. My prayer life, my marriage, my children, my relationships, my business. I'm not going to worry about what I lost, because God is my source. Always has been, always will be. He'll provide. But I'll begin to strengthen the things that remain. Close your eyes, guys. Ben, Lisa, and that. Come on.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
together today. Come on, let's trade our sorrows today. Come on, let's put away all the fear of the past and what we've lost. And get off of that. Begin to strengthen. Come on, I'm trading my sorrows in.
I trade my fixation.
Come on.
Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure.
Yes, Lord.
His joy is gonna be my strength.
Oh.
Although the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in the morning. And I'm trading my sorrow.
Come on.
And I'm trading my shame. And I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. And I'm trading my sickness. And I'm trading my faith. And I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
We say yes,
Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
We say yes,
Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm trading. I'm trading my sorrows.
I'm gonna lay them
and
down.
I'm trading my shame. And I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Come on, let go of the past.
And I'm trading my sickness. And I'm trading my pain. And I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Come on, say yes, Lord.
We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
We're saying yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Say yes, say yes. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes.
Give a great clap offering it. Come on. You know, your best days are ahead. I don't care what you lost. I don't care what you lost. Your best days are ahead. Whatever you lost is not in your past. It's in your future. To loved one, they're sitting, they're waiting, they're there, they're enjoying life to its fullest. Maybe you lost a relation, maybe you lost something different, I don't know, but whatever it is, today make your decision. I'm going to get my eyes off of what I have lost, and I'm going to put my eyes on what I have got left. You know, I'll never forget years ago, a couple excited, pregnant twins. I'll never forget the day came when the babies were born and one was stillborn, one was alive. I'll never forget talking to that mom and the struggle it was to arouse yourself, awaken yourself, and strengthen that which remains. Doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean that they didn't mean the world to you. Whatever it is, it may not even be a person. It may be something. It doesn't mean it wasn't important to you. But let me tell you something about life. You let that and give that over in the hand of the Lord, and then you go back and you turn your eyes forward, and you begin to see God do a miracle in your life. You see God begin to work with what you've got left. You begin to strengthen that. You solidify it. You build it back. You build it up. God's going to do some great thing. Everybody say amen today. Hey, we got a great thing to do before we close. Mike, bring the lights up a little bit, would you? Mike did more down and was one of the homes down near us here. And witnessing last weekend, and a young man gave his life to the Lord last weekend. Amen. And I'm going to have Mike, why don't you introduce him, Mike, and then tell him.
This is my friend Michael. We kind of grew up together a long time ago, probably about 16 years ago. I met him, and most of you don't know, I work at McDonald's, and he was dating a girl I knew back then, and you know, we kind of grew apart as we got older. But you know, we went to visit the nursing home last week, and he was there, and I didn't realize that it was him until I walked in, and he actually knew me. You know, he remembered me. You know, he'd been through a lot. He'd been attacked and stabbed and was in a coma for a while and, you know, lost the use of his legs. But he can use them now, and he's starting to build them back up. And with the Lord's help, he'll walk again one day, and he'll come walking down this aisle with me. For right now, Lord, we're going to pray for him, Lord. And we're just going to, he wants to profess his love for you, and he wants to just, you know, profess that saving grace that you've given him in front of everybody. So do that.
Everybody say amen, would you? Stretch your hand. Let's pray for Mike. We pray for Michael, Lord. Touch his body. But we thank you more than anything. You have touched his heart and his soul and saved him today. Lord, seal it with the Spirit of God. Lord, strengthen him, fill him with the Holy Spirit, Father. Let the anointing come upon his life, all the days of his life. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And everybody said an amen. Give Lord a good clap offer. Would you do that? All right, turn around, hug somebody. Say, hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hug somebody, would you? God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord. Don't forget, Wednesday night, my mom and dad will be here. We'll see you Wednesday night.